Chapter 5.
It's not much further, is it, Master?
Faye panted as we began to climb up a steep cobblestone hill.
I'm not trying to complain, but she isn't exactly a lightweight donkey.
No, I think we're fairly close, I remarked before I looked behind my shoulder. Faye, do you want me to pull her? You look wiped out. The redhead's freckled face was slick with sweat as she tugged the donkey and the cart full of Bibles forward. But when I asked if she would rather I take the reins, she fervently shook her head and continued to lug.
I know, Master. I think she would be safest with me, no offense.
None taken. I chuckled as we continued to venture forward.
So, what's the plan again?
Beatrix asked in a meek voice. I have no doubt there will be a handful of guards at the entrance. We shall tell them we come on behalf of the Laurentia Kingdom, and we come bearing holy artifacts for the Queen on her birthday.
How clever of you. I do admire your ability to lie with such ease. It used to be one of my many talents as well. At least I think it was. Or was that my great-grandmother Gertrude? It could have been my mother or sister, though. I remember one of them lied about my true heritage for years. They said I was part siren, but it turned out my mother fornicated with a serpent before she chopped its head off. How do you know it's her birthday?
Beatrix asked in a small, awkward voice as she ignored Cersei's random comment. I started to explain, but then Akira shot her a cold glare.
Do not dare question our master. If he claims it's the bitch's birthday, then his word is final. But Akira is right. Just follow along and do not ask pointless questions. Fine.
Beatrix muttered in a bitter tone. When we finally reached the castle, I took a quick moment to marvel at its undeniable grandiosity. The snow-white stones stood out against the bright blue sky, and its angelic architecture was the complete opposite of our beloved Scholomance Castle. Each stone was perfect and equal in size and shape, and its steadfast walls loomed up high into the sky and nearly reached the misty clouds that hovered above us in white clusters. The entire palace was surrounded by emerald green grass, and the masses of roses clung to the stone walls and clambered up to the stained glass windows. There must have been thousands of rooms inside, and I knew locating the library would be a challenge, but if we were careful and clever about it, I knew it could be accomplished quickly and efficiently. As I scanned the walls, I spotted a handful of guards outside the entranceway, and I was already rehearsing a speech in my head. All right, Faye, I said as I turned to face the exhausted redhead. Be sure to stand by my side when we speak to the guards. They need to see the Bibles.
Yes, Master.
The redhead responded with a stern nod. Before we made our way to the giant metal and wooden portcullis, I took a deep breath and studied the number of guards waltzing in front of the gate. They carried spears and wore silver and gold armor that gleamed under the sun, and as we ventured closer, they stopped dead in their tracks and carefully regarded us. I noticed small doves carved into each soldier's breastplate, and I briefly wondered if it was their official royal crest. I wanted to scoff at the idea. Of course, these pathetic holy worshippers would select such a feeble creature as their patron animal. Good afternoon, I called out. May the Lord of the Elder Gods bless you on this fine and beautiful day. One guard, with dark blonde hair and striking blue eyes, stared at us for a long moment before he faintly smiled, lowered his weapon, and then marched toward us. Good afternoon, he said in a deep voice. May I ask where you hail from? We come from the southern kingdom of Laurentia, I bellowed in my most charismatic and overly cheerful voice. And we bear holy artifacts for Her Majesty, Queen Delphina, for her 30th birthday. Gods be good, the guard grinned. Her Majesty will be thrilled. I shall summon her at once. May I ask for one simple favor beforehand, kind sir? I questioned with a broad smile plastered across my face. By all means, you may. The guard nodded. What is it? Would you permit us to clean ourselves up and just take a moment to rest? I asked with my hands folded together. We would greatly appreciate it. As you can imagine, we've been traveling for quite some time now. But of course, the guard said as he ushered us forward.
I will show you inside and provide you with food, water, and towels before you meet with the queen.
You are most kind, I smiled.
Come along, he urged. You can leave your donkey here. Our stable boy will feed and water her while the servants collect your Bibles and other gifts.
Thank you. We are most grateful.
I was smiling so much the muscles in my face were beginning to feel tense and sore, but I knew I had to keep up this disgusting charade for as long as possible.
Please follow me,
the guard instructed before he whistled, and then the portcullis slowly began to rise.
I will take you and your priestesses into a secluded room.
I nodded in his direction as we followed him past the gates and across a small stone bridge. The water below belonged to a quaint little river that ran around the castle, and I could spot large, beautiful fish and water lilies underneath the stream's crystalline surface. Birds were merrily chirping as we strode toward the towering marble doors covered in wooden crosses. As the doors parted open, a cool breeze wafted from within the castle, and when we stepped into the great hall, I couldn't help but stare at the countless oil paintings that hung against the stone walls. There were hundreds of pictures, and in each one there was some kind of sacrifice being held. I spotted elder gods with giant wings descending from the heavens and tearing Wiccas apart limb from limb. Other paintings depicted Wiccas burning at the stake, while a crowd of beautiful mortals witnessed their demise with wide eyes and gleaming smiles. My blood boiled as I stared long and hard at the repulsive artwork, and it took all my willpower not to clench my fists in anger as the paintings silently mocked me and my own.
"Glorious collection, is it not?"
the guard asked, and his deep voice broke me away from my thoughts.
"Indeed," I muttered.
"Oh, forgive me,"
the guard said in a faint voice.
"You must be exhausted. Please follow me."
I faintly nodded in his direction as he led us down the grand hall and toward a small narrow door by the right side of the lavishly decorated hallway. He pushed the door open and then gestured for us to step inside, and we all strolled in one after the other like a row of obedient ducklings. Nyx was the last one to enter the room, and as I watched the guard, I couldn't help but notice his fierce blue eyes lasting a moment too long on the naturally blue-skinned witch. Nyx kept her head bowed low, but perhaps there was something in her demeanor that caught his attention, and a sinking feeling settled into the pit of my stomach as he continued to stare at her.
"Priestess," he finally said in a concerned voice. "Are you all right?"
Nyx didn't reply until Akira gently nudged her in the ribs.
"Sister?"
Akira said in her most sugar-coated tone of voice.
"I believe the god is speaking to you." "Huh?"
Nyx muttered with her head still bowed low, but thankfully she quickly came to her senses.
"Oh, right. Yes, thank you, sir. I am fine. I just have a terrible headache from the sun. She is almost allergic to it, in fact."
Cersei added with a serious tone.
I see,
the guard replied as he chewed on his lower lip.
If that is the case, there is plenty of water for you in here. Make yourselves comfortable, and I shall come to retrieve you shortly so you may have your audience with the queen.
Thank you, and again, we deeply appreciate your hospitality. I shall reserve a special place for you in my prayers tonight.
Thank you, O Holy One,
the guard answered with a sheepish smile.
I shall leave you to it, then.
I forced myself to keep smiling until he finally shut the fucking door. We all breathed out a sigh of relief as soon as he disappeared, but Akira whipped around to glare at Nyx.
What the fuck?
She growled through her teeth.
That was too fucking close, Hornhead. Satan, can you, relax? We're in the clear.
For now, I muttered as I stared at Nyx, who still had her head bowed low. Nyx, let me see your face. The newest member of my coven quickly lifted her head, and I repressed a dread-filled sigh when I looked at her. Her red horns were the size of acorns on the top of her head, and her ivory skin had patches of cobalt blue. Her hair at the crown was already turning back to its vibrant shade of sapphire, and I knew we had little time left.
Oh, fuck.
What? Is it that bad? You look like a fucking freak. Why am I the only one changing so quickly, though?
Nyx demanded with her hands on her hips.
That doesn't seem quite fair. Maybe you really are allergic to the sun.
Cersei shrugged.
It's probably those drugs you take daily have probably messed up your body. I'll bet you have 3 frog legs and a newt toe. You're just saying that to be a bitch. No!
Morgana groaned with slumped shoulders.
Akira is actually right. Sometimes certain substances can affect the way a spell acts on the body. Ha! I told you! Well, shit.
Nyx shrugged before she looked at me with her soft indigo eyes.
I'm sorry, Master.
It's okay, I said before I rubbed at my throbbing temples. I'm sure we'll figure something out.
We'd better be quick about it.
Vesta purred as she twirled a lock of her mousy brown hair through her slender fingers.
My hair's quickly turning back to its vibrant, beautiful sage green. Motherfucker!
Akira hissed before she covered her eyes, as if this was a nightmare she couldn't get out of.
What do we do, Master?
This doesn't change anything. All we need to do is find the library and retrieve the stone. And the time to move is now. Without hesitation, I swiftly pressed my body against the door and then closed my eyes. I steadied my rapid heartbeat and forced myself to breathe calmly before I willed the darkness to surround me in its unholy and morose glory. Periculum. In my mind, I saw past the door and into the great hall, and to my instant relief, there was no one lingering about. I imagined everyone was busy preparing for the Queen's birthday, so at least we had the upper hand in that regard. I strained my mind to look for a stairwell somewhere within the great hall, but my head started to feel as if it were going to split in half. Sweat dripped from my brow as I forced myself to look ahead. And finally, I came across another door just down the hall, past an obscene painting of an elder god bowing before his one true lord. I studied the painting for a few moments longer, and my stomach coiled when I gazed upon the dead Wiccas who were splattered across the soil at the feet of the bowing elder. Ravenous ravens devoured their spoiled flesh, while the holy lord smiled down upon them in a smug and supercilious manner. The image made my blood boil like a scorching river, but I did my best to push past the sensation and focus on locating the library. As my mind passed through the door, I saw a golden stairwell leading up to the next floor, and I tried my best to move my mind up the stairs. But my mind was swiftly pulled away from the great hall, and I stumbled backward as my consciousness returned to my body. I fought the urge to rub at my pulsating temples and the hot bile rising up my throat. No matter how many times I used the premonition spell to sense possible danger, it always wreaked havoc on my body.
Master, are you all right?
I'll be fine. I breathed, and it felt like daggers were sticking in between my ribs. I saw a stairwell just behind one of the doors in the great hall. Come, follow me. And for Satan's sake, keep your heads low.
Yes, Master.
The coven replied in a chorus of obedient unison, while Cersei and Beatrix simply nodded in agreement. I gently pushed the door open, and when we stepped back inside the great hall, it was eerily quiet. I welcomed the silence, but I refused to let it deceive me. I'd seen no apparent danger inside my mind, but I knew, deep down, that could change at any moment. We crept through the marble and stone hallway, and as we passed by the painting, a few of the women scowled at the artwork.
I wish this entire place would burn to the ground.
Perhaps it will, I said without turning around. I pushed the door open, and lo and behold, there was the golden grand stairwell leading up to the second floor. We quickly clambered up the stairs, and when we reached another door, I hesitated before pushing it open. My fingers were extended and about to press against the wood, but something in my gut told me it would be wiser to see past the door and attempt to sense any possible danger. So I closed my eyes, but before I could mentally incant the spell, the door abruptly swung open, and 2 guards, dressed in gold and silver armor with a dove crest embedded into their chest plates, nearly collided into us. Fuck.
"Excuse us," said a guard with glowing ivory skin and wheat-blonde hair. "We didn't see you there. Priestess, pardon me for asking, but I believe I saw something unusual on your skin. Forgive me, but are you ill? The Queen is extremely strict about diseases." Instead of replying, Nyx shoved her hand into her robe and then quickly retrieved something. She pulled out her clenched hand, and when she uncurled her fingers, there was deep green powder in her palm. She blew the substance into the guards' faces, and as soon as the cloud of shimmering green powder seeped up their nostrils, their pupils shrank, and a sluggish pair of smiles crept across their faces. It all happened within the blink of an eye, and for a moment, I wasn't sure it happened at all.
"Could you please tell us where the library is located?"
Nyx asked, with her head tilted to the side.
"Just through this door and down the hall at the very end of the corridor. You can't miss it."
"Thank you,"
Nyx replied as she pushed past them. We followed her, and every now and then I glanced behind my shoulder to make sure we weren't being followed.
"Holy fuck!"
Penelope panted as we swept down the corridor.
"I can't believe you did that! How long will it last?" "Hours. But we have to hurry. That was the only batch I had."
"Regardless," I breathed as we hurried down the long hallway. That was some quick thinking. Well done.
"Thank you, Master."
Nyx smirked as we reached two towering wooden doors. When we pushed them open, we were met with a breathtaking view. There before us was a massive library, with thousands of books and dozens of floors. When I craned my neck upward, I couldn't even see the ceiling without straining my eyes, but I could make out a giant, hovering metal and gold chandelier adorned with dozens of glowing candles. Books littered the floor, and there were countless fireplaces placed in different corners of the room. Long, elegant rugs covered the sleek, mahogany wooden floors, and giant red velvet curtains hung from the three-story windows. Carvings of different animals, such as owls, deer, and doves, were etched into the wooden walls, and as much as I hated to admit it, it certainly was a beautiful room to gaze upon.
"It's magnificent,"
Morgana gasped before she stepped deeper inside the room and began to twirl around.
"Oh, if it weren't for Cole and Scholomance, I would live in this library forever. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Morgana, you need to focus. We're here for the stone, remember?"
Morgana stopped twirling and then met my eyes, and the spark of innocent excitement quickly drained away from them as a deep blush spread across her cheeks.
"Forgive me, Master,"
she muttered while she looked down at her fingers and began to fiddle with them nervously.
"I suppose I got a little carried away."
"It's fine. I'd have been more shocked if you had no reaction at all." A small smile spread across the bookworm's face before she flashed Akira a satisfied smirk.
"Whatever,"
Akira said before she flashed her dark eyes in my direction.
"Master, how are we going to find the stone inside this library? It's fucking enormous."
"I know. I suppose we..."
"Go."
A familiar voice gasped inside my head.
"You must hurry. The Queen. She is coming."
"Shit. How long do we have?"
"What?"
Penelope asked, with bright, pinched eyebrows.
"Master, who are you talking to?"
"Shh,"
Cersei ordered before she pressed a finger against her lips.
"Let him speak."
The other women exchanged confused glances with one another as a sharp pain stabbed the sides of my temples. I winced and nearly lunged forward from the intense jolt of electricity coursing through my veins.
"Do you see the statue of the Elder God?"
the woman from the painting echoed.
"The one by the fireplace in the corner. Over there, to your right."
I swerved my head and spotted a giant, white marble statue of an elder god with broad shoulders and a strong jaw. He held onto a small dove, and his mouth was set into a firm, tight line, as if he were silently daring anyone who gazed upon him to touch the precious animal.
"I see it, but..."
"Twist the head of the dove! Hurry!"
I ran over to the statue, while the women silently watched in confusion. I placed my hand on the small dove's head, and sure enough, with one quick twist, its head turned, and a low, rumbling sound echoed inside the library.
"What's going on? He clearly found the stone, duh!"
The bright yellow and tangerine flames of the fireplace quickly died, and just like the hidden passageway in Theodora's office, the stones hastily began to rearrange themselves to create a wide opening. When the fireplace completely split apart, we found ourselves gawking at the vision before us. There, on a tall, golden podium, was the third and final DeFaro stone. Even in the darkness, its black and diamond-like texture glistened and shone with undeniable brilliance and glory. It may not have been grand in size, but it radiated power and incredible darkness that pulsated through my entire body.
"Take it!"
The woman's voice fiercely resounded inside my head.
"No!"
I rushed to grab the stone, and when my fingers curled around the rough texture, another sound came from behind us. My heart began to beat wildly inside my chest, and when we all whipped around, the doors to the library were parted wide open. Standing at the threshold among an army of men was a tall and elegantly dressed woman with long blonde hair and rich green eyes. I couldn't see her face because she covered it with a pale pink silk veil adorned with pearls and diamonds sewn along the edges of the flowing fabric. Then her sharp eyes met mine, and even through her cover, I knew she was smiling. I could sense her hatred and contempt for us, even from afar.
"Well,"
she purred in a dangerously low voice,
"it seems we have caught a group of thieves in my beloved library. Sir Alan, what is the penalty for trespassing and stealing? Not to mention impersonating a holy member of the older church. No true priest would ever steal, especially from a holy queen."
A robustly built guard with raven black hair and chestnut brown eyes smiled savagely at us before he turned obediently to his queen.
"Death, your majesty,"
he responded without hesitation. Her malevolent eyes bored into mine before she slowly raised her hand into the air and snapped her fingers.
"Seize them,"
she ordered.
"I'm sorry, Cole,"
the woman from my dreams whispered.
"This is a battle you must fight on your own. May Satan help you and your women."
And with those final words, I felt her presence leave my body and soul. And then it was just the nine of us against dozens of elder-worshipping soldiers. The time to fight for our lives had arrived once again, and despite the odds, I was ready to spill their Wicca-hating blood and wreak total chaos over their entire fucking kingdom.